All right, we'll call the meeting to order. Welcome everybody to the Thayer City Council meeting. We have them every second Tuesday of the month. We did have a public participation, or I guess a public hearing is what it pertaining to an ordinance that will possibly be passed later on in the night. So was dealing with street lights. That's why some of us were here a little bit earlier. It started at 6:30 and then of course ended as we start the new meeting now. So if you would please stand with me and we will pledge allegiance to the flag, and then after that we'll say the prayer. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. If you would, please remain standing. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this evening. Thank you for letting us together as American citizens to come and talk about and make business decisions that are beneficial to the city. Help us to keep in mind that what we're doing here is for the city and nothing but the city. Forgive us where we failed, in Christ's name we pray. Amen. May be seated. If anybody would like to be on the agenda, you can contact the City Hall during regular business hours, and Brent can put you on the agenda if there's any special requests that need to be made. We'll now have the roll call.
Mayor Cotham.
Absent.
Alderman King.
Here.
Alderman Toler.
Here.
Alderman McKenzie.
Here.
Alderman Schultz.
Here.
You have four.
All right. Item number one, council to approve the consent agenda. Council meeting minutes for February 15th, 2022. Court report for February. Court receipts totaling $2,470.00. Fire department minutes for February. Fire expenses were $1,380. And February financial report.
I'll make the motion.
I have a motion and I will second. Any other discussion on the consent agenda? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion passes. Item number two, council to approve the bills paid and to be paid.
I'll make the motion with our bills.
Second.
Have a motion and a second. Any other discussion on the bills to be paid and paid? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. I voted aye.
It's opposed.
Public participation, item three, Kristen Newman to address the council about having a farmer's market in the parking lot of her business. How are you doing tonight?
I'm good, how are you?
Great.
So my name is Kristen Newman. My husband and I own Newman Farm Berkshire Pork in Myrtle, Missouri. And then last June, I opened the Farmer's Daughter located on 907 Front Street. And so it started out primarily selling our pork. And it really focuses on high quality, unique grocery items and handcrafted goods unique to this area and our surrounding areas. One item, so I have frozen meat products, pizzas, honey, grits, jewelry, you know, kind of a conglomeration of items. And the one item that I cannot keep in the store very well is produce. And it's something that our community, when they come and talk to me, it's something that they really want and look for. So I thought it'd be a great opportunity to provide an opportunity for other farmers who are really good at what they do. I can sell frozen meat and pork all day long. I'm really good at it. Produce, not so much. And so in my mind, since I am a sole proprietorship, I could take applications of people or reach out to individuals who have things that I think our community would enjoy to purchase, and then they would set up their tent. Right now, I'd say one day a week, probably on a Wednesday is my longer day, 10 to 5:30. The rest of the days I'm open 10 to 4. So it'd be one day a week and maybe the first Saturday of the month when the store is open, and then they would be independently responsible for any requirements that the city had and the state required. I would just provide them a space that is in front of my building, and I have permission from the landlords of the building. And so really I'm looking, is this something that the city council would be in favor of? And if so, what items would my vendors need to have, or is there anything further that I would need to do to get that in place?
I know we've talked about this in the past many times, and one of the things we run into with the state of Missouri is it seemed like if you were not in a co-op, everybody had to have their own business license, their own sales tax ID, and all this other stuff to be able to collect those taxes. And then there's some other discussion. Do you have individuals that like go to Cave City and buy the watermelons themselves and then resell them up here, or is it just for growers only? So there's a lot of different options, like where you are in control of it, you can say whether you go that route or not. So, but I think for the most part, unless they've changed it, and I'm not researched it in quite a while, but you used to, each individual person had to have their own business type setup and a business license.
See, and that's where I was wondering, since if I would be able to collect sales tax on, you know, they collected it, and then at the end of the day, mm-hmm. I could run it through the farmer's daughter. I just wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't be the one selling the items. And it would primarily be produce is what I would focus on, and I would try to make it diverse. So I've got a couple producers already. I've got a lady that grows lettuce hydroponically. It's fabulous. And so she would be one of my vendors, but I would try to not have three or four other lettuce vendors. You know, I would have, you know, seek out. And I think the small business side, to not resell necessarily, but if it's an item that people want and I can get it to them, then that's what, you know, that's what I would do.
So I think, I mean, we have been in favor of the past, and probably what we need to do is, we do have through our Missouri Municipal League, they do have some stuff on farmers markets. So what we could do is get that information to you, and then kind of figure out how you want to handle things like that. If you want to collect the sales tax yourself and turn it in that way, I think that was one option on there years ago, but it's been a while since we visited that, so.
And things have changed in the last couple of years too, and making it, you know, more accessible and a little easier.
And it may have changed where it's a lot easier than it was, so.
Right.
But yes, so that's what we can do. Brent's got all your information, so tomorrow we can look that up. Or
yes.
I used to have a link on my phone, that's what I was trying to do real quick, but it wasn't on there anymore, so. Does anybody else have any other comments or?
I think it's a good idea.
So if I have to call Missouri Municipal League on that, you're like, they're going to sell produce for you, but outside, like all the sales are going to run through you with the sales tax wise and stuff like that.
That's what I need to find out, what would be the easiest.
Okay.
Because I can do that, but then I have to do my point of sale, you know, or maybe they sell it, collect the money, and then I just do one big transaction at the end of the day.
Yeah.
I don't know what the best would be, and the vendors that I have in mind, we haven't had that, you know, detail of a discussion.
Okay.
And then if I have, you know, 50 people want to apply, how do I distinguish,
right,
you know, what would be so those streamlined. So I'm really kind of gathering information.
Right.
Well,
if she's running it through her business, then really if she's just expanding her product line, it's not a big deal.
Right. And what's this?
Well, there's some, yeah, so I just found a link. It's agriculture.mo.gov is probably where you need to start, because they have a farmer's market handbook, and it looks like they've got all kinds of resources on different other communities that have done farmer's markets and how they set them up, so.
And the conundrum too is, so like breads is something that people want, homemade bread. But because I'm in a brick building, I can't sell breads that unless they are manufactured in a certified kitchen. But with cottage laws, if it's outside the building in a farmer's market type setting, then those items would be available. And I know that's a demand people also like. So mm-hmm. I'd like to be able to not have to do it through, there's lots of options in gray areas.
Right.
Lots
of gray
areas.
Who comes
up with all this stuff? You know what I mean? It's all bread in a brick building, and you can't do it.
But if the city council is in favor, then I'll do my part to look into it further as well.
Yeah, I know, as myself as an alderman, I am. So there's one vote for you. So.
Thank you, I appreciate that.
I'd be in
that.
Favor of it.
Thank you.
So I guess we will... we'll table this until
that the website he talked about, I just sent you on Facebook.
You're right.
Old business, council to discuss economic development and the current plans for the industrial park.
There's not a lot to report there. You know, we meet with SCOCOG every Monday to kind of make sure the wheels are still turning on the project. We have until now with our new deadline. We kind of missed a January 1 deadline, which was bad in some ways, but good in that it really gives us till the end of the year to fine-tune the agreement between SCOCOG and the co-ops. Really just, whether it's relevant to what you guys need to know, but there's a little bit of a discrepancy on whether Inter-County Electric, which is going to kind of have the territory of the one in Texas County, is going to be under the kind of the same management umbrella as the others, the one in Howe County and down here. They're kind of, I think, in some ways want to do some of that by themselves, be independent from the rest of the group. So, and SCOCOG, I think, would prefer to keep us all under the same umbrella, so they are kind of working that out right now. The biggest, thing as far as we need is, I think, SCOCOG and Hal Oregon is going to have a significant investment in contracts and in legal agreements and what have you. We just need a, we don't want to put them in a position where they have moved forward with us and we don't have land designated for that. And that's why we're asking for the resolution to be passed tonight to confirm and commit to that area within the industrial park to put the incubator if this gets passed.
Okay. Yeah, I know things have kind of slowed down here recently pretty hectically, so.
Right.
All right, any other discussion over economic development?
I've got a couple of things I'd like to add to that. One thing that we have, we discussed before, previous, was the airport. And I've talked to Brent a few times regarding the airport. Our legislators have been really good about supplying information about funding, grants, and so forth. So Brent may want to address this, but Brent has been in contact with MoDOT. There's a gentleman's name is Andrew. Can't think of his last name.
But it's Drew.
Andrew something. Anyway, and he is represents MoDOT on the aviation side. And Megan, Nikki, and people from SCOCOG kind of turned us on to this, along with David Stubblefield, that there is some funding through ARPA and some of the other resources for airports, for extensions, for widening, for lighting, for taxiways, all types of things, potentially for fuel. And that's one thing we talked about, getting fuel back out there with credit card capability to attract people that come in to the airport that need fuel, which is a big thing for pilots. Brent has already sent a list of priorities to MoDOT, to Mr. Andrews, or Andrew, whoever his last name is, at MoDOT. And they already have that list, and from what I gather, we're on the top of the list.
They had a short list of priority airports that could use the grant funding as soon as possible, and Thayer was at the either at the top or right next to the top, and they had pre-applications to get approved for the project, and I already got that to him. So that's there. The only caveat there is the person that's over MoDOT Aviation right now is about to take a position somewhere else, and he doesn't think the new person that's going to accept that position is going to be take away that stuff. But he said that's a possibility that, you just never know.
Yeah. And also, Carla Esslinger's office turned us on to some other funding that's available through FAA on the federal side. And this also came through Megan, Nikki, and also through SCOCOG. And so we have made contact with the FAA, and apparently there's some funding available there, too, that would help supplement. So, as far as the airport is concerned, it looks like a good possibility we might be able to receive some funding, and it could be that some of those funds might go toward roads leading up to the airport. Don't know that for sure, but that's under the request as well. And whenever the lady from FAA gets back in touch, then we'll know a little bit more about that. So that's looking pretty positive. We'll see where things go. We also continue to open conversations with MoDOT on the transportation side of things regarding access points, potentially. Also regarding the improvement at the intersection down by the clinic and where the new stockyard is going to go. And by the way, regarding the stockyards, I did talk to Mr. Cruz today, and they're still progressing along. I have had a lot of delays with the architects and just waiting and waiting and waiting. So, but they are progressing along, and as you can see, they've been continuing to move dirt. But they are going to, they've already committed to do that intersection turnoff off of 63. They're going to widen that. They also are committed on Highway 63 north at 19 to do that. We're trying to get them to look at potentially improving the intersection there by Dairy Queen and O'Reilly's and Ray Noble's, that intersection as well there too. Not sure where that's going to stand. But we do continue to have conversation with them, and they are still very open about wanting to do some access points potentially between the state line and up and into the industrial park. And I don't know if there's been any conversation that we talked about or not, but they are very open to giving us an access, or at least moving an access there if we could come up with one. That would be a right in, right out into the industrial park, which would be very beneficial for the incubator coming in. And I think what it's gonna take just a spark of a couple of things to take place before this thing really kicks off. It's frustrating, it takes time, and it just exercises a lot of patience, which I don't have a lot of patience, but I'm learning the hard way. Also, I was gonna mention too, there's a meeting tomorrow with the, they call it TIF, it's through SCOCOG, but it's Transportation Infrastructure. And they are back onto this thing about four lane between Rolla and the state line. And as you know, the infrastructure money has come through from the federal side, and they are really looking very strongly at the four lane from Rolla to the state line. That has come back up again, and some of the commission has, and Howe County is very much in favor, and of course, Oregon County has not addressed that yet, but it looks like that could be put on the agenda to happen over the next few years, possibly. I know we've talked about that for how many years now, but at least it's back under discussion. Just a couple more things. David Stubblefield, our presiding commissioner, couldn't be here tonight. He had a truck that broke down, but he wanted me to let you know that the chicken production in the county, they are building on those. The weather has kind of held them back a little bit because of the ice and the rain and so forth. But those production houses are being built in Oregon County. There's, I think, three of them now that are under construction, and they have contracts for eight at this point. And as you know, those are $1.5 million investment opportunities. And once those become alive, it's going to create a lot of revenue within the county. Be very beneficial. And also broadband. As you know, there was a lot of federal money came through on rural broadband. Those contracts have been let. Current Incorporated is the company that was chosen by the commission, and they are putting towers up. There's been two new towers put up in the last month, and people are getting broadband that had never received broadband before. That's going to be huge for the county. And so that's happening as well. He wanted me to report that to you as well. So things are popping there. Nothing new on River Country. There's been some rumors flying around about that. Haven't talked to Mr. Netherland unless Scott has, but that building is still available for something. I don't know if the city has discussed any more on that or not, but that may be something you guys want to talk about. But it is still available, and he is wanting to sell and would be willing to work with the city.
That's something that I think would be good to kind of know the city's
position
on that, because there are some other opportunities that I think might be great for that facility, including a career center type facility for the school. And there's a lot of funding for that right now. The governor's really pushing.
It's got all the auto stuff.
And it has all the auto stuff that's ready to go, and there's a lot of grant money out for that right now. So that's something I talked with Tanya Woods about to see if she would be interested, and she said they had tried to get one before. I forget what the reason it fell through, but it even has the ability to bring students from Salem, Mammoth Spring, Alton, Couch, everybody, where right now we play second fiddle to whatever becomes available and is left up in West Plains. So I've walked through it, and it would be very little modification to make several classrooms on the front side of that and have that whole shop building in the back. So we, you know, if we're not going to move forward with that for something with the city, that would be something we'd like to know so that we could pursue that avenue.
And I might mention too that I've talked to some of the construction people and supervisors were at Chamber today from HARPS, and they have a tentative date on their grand opening in mid-April of some,
It's April 6th, but
I don't think they're going to make
that's it. Corporate's projected date, yeah. but their projected date's a little past that.
But if you've been by there, you've noticed the facade in the front, they're starting on that, and that's going to look very nice. You can use that, well, I call it stucco, they call it something else, but it's going to be a nice front. It'll be uniform with a lot of their other HARP stored locations. And so they're getting close, but I'm not sure we'll make the April 9th day. It's going to be a nice improvement for the community. And also, this is public knowledge too, but you know, Larry Forstler bought the Thayer Medical Clinic over there, and his plan is to move the Napa Auto Parts store there within the next few months. So that's some positive things.
Good visibility
happening
over there.
Pardon me?
It will give him good visibility,
yes,
over there.
Right.
All right.
We're still working. It's just.
Sounds great. New business. Item number 5. Council to pass Council Bill number 2030, Ordinance 2031, Amendment to Fees for Security Lights. This is under tab number 5. And this is what the public hearing was before the meeting tonight.
I will have to read that once by caption.
Go for it.
Section 720.090, security lights. The rate to be charged on security lights furnished by the City of Thayer, Missouri shall be $10 to any patron with a current security light and to any patron that requests the installation of a new security light.
And so the history behind why we are doing this is because we found out that we have a lot of lights that are not being charged to people,
and,
is that correct?
And the lights that are being charged are really sporadic across the board. There's an ordinance in place now, but even after that ordinance was in place, there are still some residents that aren't paying more than $3 a light. And the vapor light study that we got approved to do a couple months back, we put lights on a meter at the electric shed to see how much that cost us. And to replace new bulbs, it's about, and Hal Oregon charges $14 a month to recoup their costs. And so we thought 10 would be more than enough to get our costs and then possibly add more lights to the town as it is now. Because it's just not covering what our expense at all.
So what does it cost the city a month?
Scott gave me a figure. I meant to write that down. But it's around just the vapor light usage was around $5 a month, but that doesn't it's not covering the cost of, or it might be a little bit more than that, but like a new vapor light is $130 with all of it, and then if you have a bulb cost or anything like that, we have to go out there and do that. So it kind of, the extra expense gained off of that that's not being used will be put into a separate revenue for pole purchasing and light purchasing for the big blocks that are existing in the new one. Yeah.
Well, I got outvoted. I wanted $9.95. It sounded cheaper. No one listens to me.
Oh, I listen.
So I'll make a motion to approve the ordinance number 2031.
I'll second it.
We have a motion and a second. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Number 6, Council to pass resolution number 248, incubator implementation.
I have to read that in full.
Yes. least down to the end of item three.
Okay. Resolution number 248, incubator implementation. A resolution stating that the city of Thayer is ready to move forward with a small business slash manufacturing incubator being implemented in the city limits of Thayer. Be it resolved by the city council of the city of Thayer, Oregon County, Missouri as follows. Incubator implementation. One, whereas the city of Thayer would lease up to a maximum of 7 acres of the industrial park upon the city being selected for the incubator. This location shall be decided by the lessor, but will exclude the area where the utility sheds and recycling center are located, or any sites already developed for manufacturing or retail purposes are located. Item two is, whereas the city of Thayer would lease up to a maximum of an additional 7 acres of industrial park upon the city for development of a second incubator facility in the future if needed. This location shall be decided by the lessor, but will exclude the areas where the utility sheds, recycling center, or any sites already developed for manufacturing or retail purposes exist. item three, whereas the city of Thayer would honor the lease until the agreed upon term expires. And four, whereas the city of Thayer would assist with matters involving the opening and presenting of the incubator when implementation begins. This resolution will go into effect on the date of passage and will not have a termination and expiration date. And that's it.
How long is the lease?
10 years.
10 years is the initial lease, yeah.
After that, what do we do?
It's up to the option. It's really an option whether the city wants to assume that responsibility and manage that incubator. Or continue to let Hal Oregon continue to manage it.
Okay.
So I move to accept the resolution 248 with the notation of the adjustment of the 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Okay.
On the whereas, because I think you had a duplicate 2.
Yeah, we had duplicate 2s.
And I'll second it with the stipulation that one of the words in here is misspelled. We need to spell it correctly.
Okay.
Just saying.
Okay.
If we're going to be professional, we got to look the part.
All right, any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Number seven, council to approve the business license submitted by Heather Bryant. And that should be on tab 7.
Yes, sir.
This is 101 Chestnut in there.
Her husband is Nathan Bryant, and he owns Bryant IT LLC.
Okay.
So that location's already established as a business.
So it'll be in the same.
Correct.
What business does he have?
IT Solutions. He works with school as well.
School's ambulance service.
Mm-hmm.
City. I bothered him tonight.
Police department.
Mm-hmm.
I make motion to approve it.
I'll second that. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, number eight, council to approve Friday, April 22nd, 2022 through Monday, May 2nd, 2022 for the annual spring cleanup week. I move to approve those dates.
I second.
Any other discussion, comments?
Are we gonna get a big dumpster again?
Yes, at the street department. Well, the lot right before the street department.
Okay.
Right by where the transformer pit is.
Is there any conflicts with those dates? Right. Do you know of?
Not that I know of. I looked.
There's something, but I can't remember what it is. Something on like the, I don't know.
Well, if we find out there is, we'll have another meeting where we can change it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Any other discussion or comments? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Number nine, council to discuss filling the diesel tanks at the utility sheds.
There are diesel tanks at the utility sheds right now. They're wanting to put off-road diesel in those tanks and monitor it with surveillance and then use those tanks specifically.
Who is wanting to do this?
The street department is the one that wanted me to put it on the agenda. And that's about it.
To save the city taxes.
It's non-tax, it would be cheaper to buy in bulk. It's convenience.
Convenience when the ice knocks out the electricity.
Yes.
That's really, since we have gone away from utilizing those tanks, the city has saved thousands of dollars.
Yes.
On fuel because of that.
That's why
I told the guys today, I said, man, we're saving too much money to have to go back that way. I said, we could go down to state line now, you know, and when they're out of hours, I think we're working on getting the cart set up or something to them.
Do they have off-road there?
No, but.
Can we get a rebate?
What
uses off-road? Just a backhoe?
Backhoe.
That's about it.
I thought they were going to sell the off-road diesel at state line. That's something they plan on doing.
I think they're going.
To hit on that point, we can use cards, and we have charge accounts with state line already set up too. So that's all done.
Well, I don't know that we need to fill the tanks there, but I would not be opposed to putting 50 gallons or 100 gallons, something like just a minimal amount, in case we do lose power for an extended period of time, and we can't use any of the stations around here. I would not be opposed to that, but I don't think it needs to be filled. But I don't see any problem with.
Basically, they're just wanting to whatever. They want to operate out of those tanks instead of going to get diesel elsewhere.
Yeah, they don't want them as a standby. They want them as a
primary.
I'm just one person, but I think that's a bad idea.
Yeah, I don't.
What was that? In the past, it wasn't.
It's a bad idea.
Yeah.
They can die to lack of motion, too.
Cool. Let's go on to number 10.
All right, no movement on item 8, so I guess that'll be item 9. Item 10, council to discuss general business and topics. Is there anything else that needs to be?
I need to add the ladder rack stuff.
Okay, so Brett does have something to add to the agenda on a bid for the ladder rack that came off of the water truck?
Yes, sir. I need to amend it to say open and discuss acceptable.
Hey,
I have one bid.
And we had put this in the paper that we were bidding it
yes.
out. Yes. Right. One slow bid for the ladder rack.
All right. Sounds like a winner.
Big money. Yep. $150 from Theo Morse.
Make a motion, we accept it.
I'll second. Oh, any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Theo buys a ladder rack.
Second that.
We'd like to remind everybody that our municipal election is April the 5th, so don't forget about that.
Where's it going to be? Where are we going to vote?
I don't know.
Clarity Church, I believe, still has that.
That's off the beaten path.
It is off the beaten path. A lot of people were confused last time because they're so used to the Church of Christ. But
so is that going to be on the Facebook page or something?
I'll put it on there. I'll make sure it gets on there.
And if there's a sign.
It's every year, the first Tuesday, every year.
But I want to note that.
No, I mean, it's where?
Yeah,
well, that's the big thing because I've been in Church of Christ forever.
I'm almost positive it's a clarity again. I think that's right.
Well, who's in charge of it? The county or
something? It's on our voter registration cards.
Yes.
It's clarity.
So when you get that green piece of paper in the mail, it tells you where your voter's location is.
That's it.
All I am saying,
better. Anyway, there's not a lot on there, so there's, anyway. Last time the election came around, everybody's like, well, I didn't know there was an election. Well, don't complain then. All right, anything else before the council needs to be discussed?
I'd just like to ask, and I apologize, going back to what I brought up before. We would really like to know the city's position on the River Country's spot, if you're interested in that. If not, just to know whether, because I'd hate to miss other opportunities that might benefit the community.
How
if you're not, but I definitely don't want to step on your toes. you know, if you're still interested in maybe pursuing that location.
How does the city benefit by a school going there?
Just the students. This is an educational opportunity, a career center. You know, career centers are really becoming, I think, vital to educating students, you know. A lot of people are, instead of going to college, they're going to tech schools and community colleges. And right now, our students, we have to, like I said, they have to bust us to West Plains. And they get second pick, and, you know, whenever, they have to wait to see whatever's available up there as far as opportunities for them to go, you know.
Are they kind of all flowing then at West Plains, is what you're saying?
I don't know the details of that. And guys, I'll say this with also, let you know, I don't know the true potential for that becoming a career center. I just thought, in my mind, there was a career center at my high school. It was wonderful. Everybody went to it. I think all the students benefited from having that opportunity. I haven't really had an in-depth discussion except for a casual discussion with Tanya Woods on it, that she obviously thought that it would be a great opportunity too. Whether the school would want to move forward with officially pursuing that, I don't have that official word. It's just something that when I drive by there every day, I thought, you know, it'd be a great facility for you guys may be interested in doing. It'd be a great facility for a career center. There's a lot of opportunity there. And I just want to know if one person isn't going to pursue it, can we pursue another avenue with it?
I did talk to, and I don't think I told Scott this, but I talked to a gentleman that does have some interest in that. Just from the standpoint that he's been in business, not in this community, but elsewhere. And he thinks it would be a good opportunity for, you know, to build around that. In other words, if you put in a camper place or an implement place or whatever you want to put there, and then build some things around it, you know, his experience would be to try to get several types of businesses, like a strip mall, if you will, in one location, instead of putting one here, one here, one here. The synergy of having several types of businesses there on one place would benefit everybody and benefit the community as well. So he's kind of a pretty sharp guy. So anyway, he's thinking of some on it, but we'll see.
And I would be in favor of that too. You know, any development of that, this has a lot of potential. And I think we've all been kind of waiting to see what the city's position is before really pursuing any of those other channels. So
now, if the word gets out that that they are truly looking at four lane, you know, I mean, really something that is not just talked about, because we've talked about it for 20 years, that if it's something that they really are going to vote to move through with that, then the price of that's going to go way up. I promise you that. Because you look at cities that have four lane going through their community. Have you been through Houston lately?
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable. Mountain View? Unbelievable. So it brings a lot of other business with it. So it'd be a big plus for this area if we could obtain that. Plus, make it a lot safer driving between Thayer and West Plains, because that's horrible right now.
Has Mr. Netherland conveyed a price to you that he would sell to the city, or any terms or anything? Or
I kind of know what he'd let it go for.
Okay.
But I can talk to you about that.
Right. So that
it may. Yeah, I don't.
In order to keep somebody from outbidding us, you know, we can discuss that in closed session. So
sure.
Is the city still interested? I think the citizens would be very interested to know, especially after the outpouring of information and support they gave against that notion in the past.
Well, this would be a different situation. It doesn't involve the developer
The main reason for going over there was to vacate the area behind O'Reilly's, and in order, the city had committed back in May to doing something, either going to River Country or us building our own building and moving out of those locations. So I think it seemed to me the biggest outpouring was the rodeo arena and the loss of it. And there was a lot of misinformation that got out there that when we left that meeting that night, that we'd sold the industrial park and the rodeo arena was going bye-bye.
Yeah.
And that was not it, you know. And so since that time, I've just, you know, the brakes have been put on hold. We've not had any more. That has been the biggest meeting I've seen since for a long time. We've not had any more people come to council meetings asking those questions. So I'd say if we got around to that again, we're still trying to do something to move the community forward.
And I think from a business perspective, that location would be much more suited to what Mr. Ekman's talking about, or to a school, than to have a city hall located there.
Right. And that was also the discussion as well, why us tie up that area when it's a good retail spot.
Yeah.
So it's, but we need somebody to make movement somewhere to get something going, and
well,
we felt like
there
that,
is movement with the incubator. That's very, very positive.
Yes. Well, as far as like retail and the retail side of things, so that was really the intent, was to try to spark the retail growth by moving around like that, but we'll see what happens. So anything else or any other discussion? All right, I guess we will move into closed session. Or do we really? Yeah, let's move into closed session.
We do.
Okay. I'll make the motion to move into closed session.
I'll second.
All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Aye. All right, we are in closed session. If y'all will vacate the hall and...
Yes, sir.